The word today is usable. Welcome to The Word Today with pastor and Bible teacher Paul Schrader. God has saved his people so that they might serve him and choose to fellowship with him. He cleanses us and makes us usable in his kingdom. Here to remind us of how important we are to God is Pastor Paul Schrader on The Word Today, Usable.
One of the important things for church members to remember is that there are false types of security that Satan can give us. As a matter of fact, when Jesus talks about success, he seldom talks about prosperity, and yet there are an awful lot of preachers that are saying, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ and if your faith is genuine, you're going to become wealthy and you're going to have many, many possessions. I read recently where the government is beginning to check up on some of these evangelists. They live such an extraordinarily wealthy lives. They have jet planes, they have limousines, they have million-dollar homes, and you know, the implication is that if you're a true faith believer in Jesus, that you're going to have all kinds of wealthy possessions. Now, that is not biblical. It is not at all what the Bible says. As a matter of fact, the Bible warns about becoming too wealthy. It warns about the dangers of money and how it can mislead you. So these people are presenting a totally false image. As a matter of fact, I think that carries over even in some of the messages. I've listened to some of these preachers, and they seem to say just exactly what people want to hear. They want people to be happy. They want people to be totally free of any concerns or worries. And so they don't talk about sin. They don't talk about guilt, and they certainly don't talk about change. You know, one of the things that's difficult for people to deal with is change in their lives, especially if they need to correct something that's wrong. So I would like to just kind of think with you today about how God wants to use us, why he has brought us into his kingdom. You know, there are no simple little rules. You know, we're not supposed to create a very acceptable type of climate in the church so that anyone can come in and not have to worry about sin or not have to worry about changing their lifestyle or not having to worry about what kind of friends they have. You know, the witness of Jesus was that you are to pick up and follow him and imitate him. We are to leave behind the evil things that we used to do. As a matter of fact, the Bible talks about those who followed Christ. He said, at one time, you were murderers, you were adulterers, you were thieves, you were all kinds of people that really didn't love God and really didn't serve God, and now you've been changed. That's called the new birth. That's called conversion. And so I believe that any church that tries to make people feel as though they have to be politically correct or that they have to have a certain lifestyle and they have to have a certain economic approach to their handling of their money and so on, this is very misguiding and not at all what God wants to be preached and taught in his church. Now, there's another danger, and that's ritual. You know, the Jewish people in the Old Testament had all types of rituals. They would have different types of cleansing where they would wash themselves certain ways. They would have all types of sacrifices where they would, you know, bring something and offer it up. They would have all kinds of prayer rituals where they would pray for long periods of time and where they would meditate. As a matter of fact, even later, even after the New Testament church, in the Roman church, there were all sorts of things like this. There were all sorts of rituals. And there were things that people would do to try to earn some of God's favor, like crawling up a long series of steps on their knees so that their kneecaps began to hurt. And there were all sorts of things called flagellation, where they would take a whip and they would whip the whip back onto their back from one side to the other until the little pieces of metal at the end of the straps would begin to tear into the flesh. And then they would have pain and they would have misery and bleeding, and they'd say, well, now we're really suffering for God. You know, all of these types of rituals and activities have no meaning whatsoever unless there is a connection between them and what God wants. It's kind of like folding your hands. You can fold your hands 100 times and accomplish nothing by it. Now, I'm not suggesting that it's not a good idea to fold your hands when you pray. It keeps them from wandering around and doing things and preoccupying yourself with something else while you're trying to pray. So some of these things are good ideas, but you have to use them with wisdom. I think one of the most important things that God wants us to do is to make ourselves usable by Him. You know, He's redeemed us for a purpose. He has called us into His kingdom for a purpose. And the primary purpose is to tell others about His Son, Jesus Christ. We are to be His witnesses. Now, the first recognition that we need to have is that we are all under God's judgment because of sin. So we're not usable by God as a cracked pot would be, because we leak. And He has to fix us. He has to repair us. He has to put us into a usable condition. So the first thing He does is convert us. He takes our heart, which is evil by nature. We know that. We can see in our own heart and know the lust and the coveting and all the evil that is there. And we can see, especially when we see the sin rise up within us, we can see how bold we can become in going against God's will. And we're not very usable by God then, that's for sure. So He has to cleanse us. He has to wash us. He has to redeem us. He has to win us back. He has to convert us and change us. And so He sends His Holy Spirit upon us. And that's one good reason to pray often for the gift of the Holy Spirit. God comes and He builds within us and He works within us and He enlarges our spiritual life and He encourages us and strengthens us. That's one good reason for the Lord's Supper, to strengthen us and encourage us so that we not only know that we're forgiven, but we know it in a strong way and in a way that we rejoice and praise Him and in a way that we can, you know, talk about it and share it with others. And so He works in our heart and He builds in us a spiritual life. Now that spiritual life frees us from our sin and from our guilt, and it causes us to praise God. As a matter of fact, it's just like the angels. We say, holy, holy, holy. And in other words, you know, there are some beautiful songs. We Fall Down is one of the songs that we pray. We cry, holy, holy, holy is the Lamb. And we bring our praise and thanksgiving to Him. Now, one of the things that helps to do is to clean up our mouth. You know, our mouths are connected to our heart, so to speak. And a lot of times we say things that hurt people because we're envious or we're jealous or whatever it is. God wants us to have a clean mouth. And so He works on our mouth and He cleanses us and He strengthens us and He gives us pious things to say. I think that's one excellent reason for memorizing hymn verses and Bible verses, that we have things to say as we praise God. Now, one of the things God wants is a willing spirit. Now, as God has cleansed us and brought us into His kingdom and strengthened us and prepared us for witnessing, He says, okay, who will go for me now? Who will be a communicator for me? Who will talk to people? Who will share the news about my Son Jesus? And so He wants us to have a willing response. He wants us to say, I will go. I will be one who represents you. Now, when He calls us this way, He wants us to recognize Him not only as our Lord and our God, but He wants us to recognize Him as our leader. He wants us to be obedient. You know, I don't think we talk anywhere near enough in the Christian church today about obedience. Now, we talk about honoring God. We talk about praising Him. We talk about serving Him. There are certainly many, many things that we can talk about. But I believe that one of the things we ought to talk more about is obedience. Are we obedient to God? Do we listen to His word? Do we hear His word? Now, before you can hear His word, you got to be reading it and you got to be listening to it. And so I would think someone that's not getting into God's word and not daily hearing from God is going to have a tough time trying to be obedient to God. How are you going to know what God wants? How are you going to know what He's saying to you? I believe there ought to be a period of time every single day in which we communicate with God in our prayer and in which we read His words, that we hear what He's saying to us, so that we know what He wants us to do. I believe that every morning, every night before we retire, and every morning when we get up, one of the first things we should do before we put our feet on the floor is to say, God, be with me this day, guide and direct me, strengthen me, help me, protect me, Lord. Be with me this day. That would be a beautiful thing to be in a habit of doing every day, even before you get out of bed. And at night, some of the closing thoughts before you close your eyes and before you begin to sleep is to turn everything over to God and let Him know that you are in His hands and that you are willing to be with Him in heaven if He should choose to take you that night. If He gives you a peaceful rest, that the next day you can be able to serve Him again. It is just wonderful to be usable by God and to feel that He is using you as you witness to other people and as you talk to other people about His Son, Jesus Christ. It's wonderful to know that God regards us as being important. He loves us so much. He assures us that we have the certainty of salvation. You don't have to fear. You don't have to worry. God is with you. He will take care of you. He's leading you home. And in the meantime, in the days that you have left, be assured God will be with you, send His Holy Spirit upon you. He will strengthen you, bless you, give you opportunities. He wants you to be usable to Him.
Thank you, Pastor Schrader, for your message today. We appreciate your helpful thoughts and biblical insight. And thank you, friends, for joining us for The Word Today. We hope that you were blessed by the message. Did you know that you can find The Word Today on the web at thewordtoday.org? There you can listen to sermons and read responses from listeners from around the world. We would love to hear from you. So visit thewordtoday.org to write or send us an email. And if God moves you to send a gift to support The Word Today, you can do so by credit card at the website. Your free will offering helps this program stay on the air and allows us to add new languages and stations to proclaim God's Word around the world. There are no salaries or administrative costs at The Word Today, so all of your gift is used for spreading God's Word by radio and the web. The Word Today is heard in more than 50 languages worldwide, and as our ministry grows, we hope to add even more. One of our goals is to have The Word Today translated instantly into 20 languages and made available for streaming or download on thewordtoday.org. If you would like to give to support these efforts, please visit thewordtoday.org. That's thewordtoday.org. Each week at this time, The Word Today brings you a study on a word that applies Christian principles directly to your daily life. We hope that you will share this week's lesson with your friends and family, and that you will join us again next week for The Word Today.